Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Blue Abroad Show, Monday, the 29th of April, 2024. We're here after round seven, a loss to the Geelong Football Club, and we are, surprise, another announcement, new partner. We are brought to you by Cannoleria. Got Pommy with me. Pommy, can you say Cannoleria?
I was going to say, fucking wonder why they didn't sponsor my channel. Cannoleria?
You gotta like a
cannoleria. Yeah, I told you, I can't roll my R's. Like, this is like a fucking yearly thing. Why do you think my wife's so miserable all the time? Because I can't roll my R's. Oh, dear. well done, company sponsoring the show for having a real big name.
Well, welcome to you, mate. Welcome to Matthew Whitaker, Jack Gary. Thank you. Welcome to the Blue Abroad membership. Everyone's here. We've got Christian, Maz, Jai, Andy Hill, Jimmy R. Stop picking on Paul. I'm not picking on him. We're just, you know, we're a diverse channel here. You've got to have a bit of Italiano.
Bit of Italian. I can flavor. Take it, mate. Don't worry, Jimmy. I'm all right.
Johnny Holden is here. Aiden says, Johnny with the best advice. Pommy, it's all in the tongue, mate. It's all in the tongue.
Figure of eight motion. You're bound to hit something.
Oh, God. Welcome to Sex Education Abroad. All right, let's begin. Bumper show tonight. Massive show tonight. We're going to go through round seven. We're going to get through the review of the game. We're going to move on pretty quickly. Well, as quickly as we can. We're going to review it properly. And then we're going to talk about 100,000 members, the impact of that. We're going to talk about round eight against the Collingwood Football Club, which I'm really excited to get into because it's a very special week and time every time we play against the Pies. And then at 8 p.m., we are going to spin the wheel and do the BA raffle. So at 7:30, I'll cut off entries. The link is in the chat right now. 7:30 sharp, I'm cutting off entries. And then 8 p.m. so I can upload them into the wheel. And then 8 p.m. we will spin the wheel six times. One entry will give you an entry per spin. So anyway,
if you're a veteran of the show as well, you know that always causes drama, that wheel. That wheel was some of the best fucking moments, mate. I can't wait.
Oh, God. Don't jinx it, mate. Something will go wrong.
I can't wait to see what that's got in store for us this week.
All right. So how we're going to start is this, as we always do, those of you who are watching at home or wherever you are watching from, summarize the game, maybe not in three words, summarize the game in a sentence. How about that? We'll expand your horizons. Summarize round seven in one sentence. Pommy, let's begin. Round seven, Geelong MCG, Saturday afternoon or twilight. What happened and what'd you make of it?
Brute strength and ignorance meets rigid and poised cats, doesn't it? And at the end, just showed that little bit of poise and that little bit of maturity sometimes counts. And you know what? I mean, I'm not too disconsolate about this one. I think the Adelaide one probably hurts a bit more because Adelaide is shite. I think Geelong, they've been there and done it, haven't they? They've been there and done it, and you want to beat them because that kind of makes you feel a little bit closer. But all in all, I feel that they will have learned there of what it takes to be a top four side. And I like Voss's words at the end that there's an expectation, and expectation is so important that we're now a top four club. I don't want to see anyone whinge after this game of, oh, I'm worried about this week or this week, because Voss has told you we're not that maybe side. We're a top four side fighting for this title. So every game is expected to win. And that was the exciting thing for me. Definitely showcases where we're poor, though, doesn't it? And I think the entries this week, that stat that came out this week, which really pisses me off, we have the 18th best shots at goal in the league and the 15th best open play shots. And you look at how we scored our points, 58 points coming in organic open play and only a handful from set shots, shows that we're probably the hardest working side in the league. Our inside 50 method at the moment is Harry and Charlie kick a screamer and take a screamer, or we manage to wrestle it out and kick a goal. We don't get them nice, easy goals where you see Geelong with their superior ball movement, their ability to get over the top at pace. They have them nice one outs. It's nice and pretty for them. So I think that clearance game, though, is what excites me. Chris Scott touched about it. When Carlton have one-on-ones, they're a tough side to beat. That, for me, is something that we can look at. If we can learn to be a little bit more precise with our entries, particularly changing the angles, I think you can create that stoppage and clearance game organically elsewhere as well. And that excites me. But spot on as well from Matula. Good teams fight till the death. And we were dead and buried 10 minutes into that fourth. And there was life in the old dog, wasn't there? Yeah. There was life. So that's good. It's good to see.
I really liked this from Josh Holden. Good enough, tough enough, not clean enough. We have been winning games consistently over the last 20 odd because we were, you know, brave enough, tough enough, resilient, you know, emotionally there, riding the wave of momentum. And this was a reminder that you can be all of those things and you will improve and you will rise up the ladder and you will rise up in this competition. But if you fail to execute the basics when it comes to ball in hand and the entries inside 50 and the shots on goal, combine that with, you know, consistently defending around the ground, you're still going to lose. You probably won't lose that way to every team in the competition, but certainly when you play the top team and a team that's been at the top for a long period of time, who have a lot of not just finals experience, but, you know, deep finals experience, preliminary finals, grand finals. It just was another lesson. And the master got one on the apprentice. We pipped them last year. They get one back. We get to play them again in 2 months, maybe less. And yeah, I came away from that game. You know, it just depends on what your outlook is. You know, you can say that, you know, we sort of butchered the footy. You know, we were able to score over 100 points against the best defense in the league, best team in the league, depending on how you look at it. You look at two losses now, we've scored 98 points and 105 points in two losses. That is not something that we have been saying a lot with this club. So yeah, it's frustrating because you know you could have won the game. And I think that's where the frustration comes from. And I think the other thing as well, and we'll get to Vossi's comments in the presser maybe shortly, but just the lift in standard and the lift in expectation that we're seeing from the club is pleasing to me. You know, I almost felt that we didn't go as hard as what, you know, they did on themselves, which I think is a good thing.
It may spawn, and they work so hard. I mean, like, you look at it, like, this side from this time last year is a 40-point better side.
Yeah.
40-point better side. Like, if you play round 7 count in 2023, this side, they win by a counter. It's not even close. It's not even close, right? The issues at goal kicking have always been there. And, you know, the one thing that annoys me when we analyze this game is people are what they are. Right. So these players are always going to kick like that. Not many players in AFL in the last 20 years have come in as one thing and then suddenly dramatically improved something that is their native. Right. They've just improved the layers that they're weak at. But I think when you look at this in play scores, so in play from no marks, Carlton scored 53 versus 27. So people say Carlton are a running side. That proves that they are a running side. Right. When the ball's free, that's when we're best. Set shots, 50, plays 88. Their execution is amazing, but that also comes down to where they are. And then you have another problem. When people say Carlton's midfield and forwards can't defend, it's hard to defend when your average set shot is 43 metres away from goal versus 24. Because when the ball's 24 metres in, you've got 18 players defending you. When it's 40 out, you've only got 13, and that's where you saw it. And the big difference this week is the problems existed against GWS. The problems exist against Adelaide. Against Adelaide, they're a little bit wet behind the ears. We asked the question. They shit themselves a little bit. They ultimately had done enough in their first couple of quarters to make it too big for Carlton. first quarter against GWS was woeful as well, right? But they're wet behind the ears. They got a little bit shell-shocked. They shit themselves. We blew them away. It's about finding that happy medium. And I think it all stems from me in the first quarter. The first quarter, again, our worst quarter pressure-wise. We weren't there. And that's what is unsustainable, continually giving up a bit of a lead. That's where we're going to get better. And I'm not really worried about the shot, the goals we're conceding, because this high defensive line is why we're looking better. The transition game, that all the DNA in this side, stoppage and turnover, is pointing to flags. That's really important. That's really important. Punishing your opposition. That will come because a lot of them goals this week, I went back and watched the tape, watched it four times. It's actually killed me watching this game. But when you look at it, it's always the first kick that kills us. It's that first kick out. They get over that second line of defense. They're straight into the guts and we're chasing them. When it looked really good and we hemorrhaged them in the third quarter, that's where it was struggle. And Enzo makes a point here. We moved out the forward line, of course, because they've only got 5 meters to fucking run. Do you know what I mean? Like, to get it out of the 50, it's almost half out with our entries. When it's deeper, though, and you saw that when we went on that goal-kicking spurge, that's right on the goal square. So they've got a long way to get it out. They've got some chances. So we're starting to get, it's starting to get there. It's all got to come together. And just remember where we were this time last year. The game plan was miles away. And then it clicked. When this clicks, I am telling you now, this high defensive line, Collingwood do it, people rave about it. Melbourne did it, people rave about it. They never had our contested and our ability to play tight games. So that's what excites me. That's what really excites me. And I think that'll come once that entry gets deeper, and it will do when the players come back, particularly Chera. He likes a deep entry. Feel like you're going to see a little bit better. But the boys this week, they'll be disappointed because some of the basics they didn't execute in that first half is criminal. Yeah. It's criminal. Yeah. And they left themselves a lot of work to do.
Yeah, when I watched the replay today, three things stood out to me. I don't know if it's a lack of focus, but some of the kicks, I think Williams had a couple, Kennedy had a couple, young Lockie Cowan had one towards the end, and you're just thinking, oh my God, like this is fixable. The second part was, I actually, for the record, I like that we didn't blame the umpiring. I really did. I enjoyed that, generally speaking, we didn't blame the umpiring for the loss. The holding the ball rule, hopefully that swings back in our favor this week, because there were probably three, maybe four of them which were blatant. I thought, gee, we're a bit stiff here, which compounded the fact that we weren't efficient with ball in hand. And we didn't lose because of the umpiring. We lost because, you know, as a good friend of mine says, we flirt with danger a bit too much. And the better teams punish you, in particular the top side. And then the third element was this run that we made towards the end and this never say die attitude. I'm going to be totally honest. I just said it now in the ratings. I had absolutely given us no hope to win the game, and I had given up just before Cripps kicked his goal. But to see, I mean, it's little, and we lose the game, and I don't want to glorify losing the game, but to see that relentlessness from them, knowing, listen, we've shit the game, we've muffed it, but we've got to keep trying to find something, you know, from this game. And I think that's important because you had 6 more minutes in the game left. You could have easily just managed it, not let it blown out to 60 plus, or you use those 6 minutes to try and still get something against Geelong's system. So I was happy with that. I left watching that game knowing that what we did wrong is fixable.
Mate, spot this time last, I mean, this time last year, what was it? It was round 10, wasn't it? The Collingwood game, 30 points.
Yes.
They beat us. And like when you finish that game, like I was going through some of the live comments on fan cams. I'm not going to name you all because I was pissed as well. But like some of the comments were like, fucking trade the team, sack Voss. They've never got better since Teague. Do you know what I mean? Dummy out of the plan. And I watched the game and I was like, This side here is a side that is sat really deep in its defensive half, clinging on. We were a cling-on side. It was like, please create stoppages so we can beat you. Watching this game, different vibe. It's exactly like you say. Be a bit smart around the ears. Take your chances, because this is the level.
Yes. Now,
to be the best, you've got to turn it up. You've got to be that 1%. So little things that I looked at in this game, 20% efficiency inside 50, woeful. Absolutely disgraceful. Like, but when Carlton have had them numbers before, Adelaide last year, where they beat us by 60, right? And everyone was like, oh, if we only kick straight, St Kilda, very similar story. Oh, if we only kick straight. If you're honest with yourself, there was loads fucking went wrong with that game, though. Like, if we weren't shit, we'd win. Like, that's what we should have said, if we're honest. That is where we are now. It's these little incidentals because, yeah, Geelong kicked a lot of goals. But listen to them review their game, the Geelong podcasters. There's a few of them. They weren't happy with their performance. They were saying shit like, oh, you know what? When I look at Carlton, they bullied us around the contest. We need to get stronger. We can't handle Ruckman. Oh, we can't handle tolls. We can't handle toll players. We need to work that out. If Stewart's dead, we're fucked. Like, they're starting to talk about us like we're exposing them as well. So that's a positive. We know we're not the finished article. Geelong are. They've won the flag. They ain't going to get better. So that's where I'm at, excited. We've got to, and Lou makes a point, like people bagging. This is one fucking game that hopefully in 7 weeks' time when we play them again, they're going to be able to have a full strength side. They can have little precious Tom Stewart back and we can show them what we're about. We can show them because it's nearly there, man. Like, we're now talking about incidentals. We're talking about why the fuck did Matt Kennedy bomb it in when there was 4-on-2 in the defensive line and not handball it inside to Elijah Hollands. We're talking about why did Cowan take that kick on? Why did Kemp not go corridor? Why did he go down when there was people? It's little things like that now, which is a top side. That's what top sides are about. Them one percenters. No longer are we saying, fuck, we need a miracle. Or bring back Fev. Bring back Cooter. We're now saying little one percenters. And that makes me proud that my coach has come out and said it's unforgivable to lose to Geelong. And the fucking one of the favourites. Unforgivable. Yeah. That means we're good.
You got, and I'm being generous, you got 8 guys that would have played if they were available. You've got so many young players who had played less than, you know, 20 games playing. We lose by 2 kicks or 2 and a bit kicks, and Nakoshi's come out and saying it's unacceptable. That filled me with confidence that, you know, this time last year, and, you know, we'll open up the conversation about Bossy's comments because it was the first time we've seen him talk like that. I took it as a lifting of the standards. You know, this time last year, the boys hadn't done it yet. So they still needed some support. And it's really showing that, listen, this is the level, as you said, Pommy. And to get to the level, you can't accept such performances and such mistakes. So what did you make of Vossi's comments? Where are you in the reaction to it?
He's entitled to his opinion. I mean, I didn't read it like, trust me, when you speak to the masses, sometimes nuance is lost. And I thought it was nuanced to what he said. I don't think he was saying the defense was shit. I think he was trying to tell you that our team defense was shit. And I think that's probably a fair call. I think over the last 3 weeks, our team defense hasn't been where it should be, hence the goals. And that partly comes down to movement. That partly comes down to application. And I agree with him. The best part of it was him saying that we should be winning these games because, Terry, I remember doing previews with you when we used to do them joint, bro. And the only expectation was to beat North Melbourne. They're fucking dog shit. Everything else was hope, Terry.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I hope we beat this side. Oh, I'd do anything to beat this side. Now it's an expectation.
Yeah.
Now it's an expectation that we do fucking stack up with Geelong. We've worked hard. We are in the same breath as these guys. We are. We do beat GWS. That's who we are. That's what excited me, that Voss was saying to the fans, shut the fuck up with your danger game. shut your fuck up with luck and shit like that. We are the real deal. We're beating good sides. We want to be challenging. We ain't making finals. We're challenging for the actual silverware. And that's what it is. Remember last week when I said I couldn't give a fuck about playing finals? It's about winning flags. Spot on. It's not about playing finals. It's about winning the thing. And that's what Voss told you. We are about winning the thing. And to win the thing, you're going to have to knock these turnips off. Because tell you what, I didn't even, honestly, up until yesterday, I didn't know anyone was a Geelong fan in my heart of hearts other than Danderfield. You know, the chick on Twitter? Since they've won, evidently they've got fucking fans, bro. Did anyone else know this? Like, I thought Geelong was like a joke in Victoria, you know, so people could feel like they were a state. Like, they've all come out of the woodwork. Who the fuck are Geelong? I haven't heard from them, honestly. Like, the only time I've heard a Geelong fan speak is telling me that Gary Ablett Sr. didn't kill her. Like, that's the only time. What fucking liars?
It has been truly... the word amazing. It's been amazing to see how much it means for teams to beat Carlton. That's where we've gotten to. The pity's gone. It's okay, Carlton. Like, it's gone. It meant a lot.
Honestly, I've never seen Geelong fans have banter. Like, yeah. And suddenly they're all over. I was like, who the fuck are you guys? And I've got three of my mates are Geelong fans. They usually shut the fuck up. The group chat was like, hey, Pommy, you suck shit. And I'm like, mate, you beat Carlton, bro. Like, when did this matter to you? Like, it's
That, it's become, wow, we're here. Okay, we've entered this realm of, oh, teams fear us and they put their best foot forward against us. That's what you want. This is everywhere we want it to be.
Mate, good mate of mine, I nearly became a Geelong fan. It's heavily documented, right? Do you know what I mean? When I first came here, that was like the team that I had a synergy with. He knows his football. He loves it. And he was saying, I feel relieved we've beaten you because now I know we're back. And that was a big pep on my back because I was like, hang about, you genuinely see us as the big dogs again.
Yeah.
Like you're not saying what you usually do. It's all right, Pommy, like one more trade period. Just a bit more experience. You'll be in and around the eight. Now he's talking about, fuck, we've got to put you away. And chatting to him, he was like, he said to me, the biggest thing about Geelong is they've never folded. They've never wilted. They always never say die. And he said to me, there was a lot of 95 about the Blues in that. He's older than me, but he said, because you fought to the death. And he was like, last year and the year before, even under Vossi, I thought sometimes you queued in the rack. He was like, I thought you would have let that game get out to 30 and queue in the rack. Let's not chase it. He was like, you ran us close and we had to go from control to fuck kill Carlton. They're coming back. So he was like, that'll stand you in good stead. And you know what? Now we've got, fuck Geelong. I'm sick of talking about them. Shit little village in the north fucking east tip of Melbourne. No one cares, man. They could be Queenslanders for all I care. Now we've got the real deal. Fuck Geelong, proper football side, Collingwood Football Club. The only reason the AFL exists, Carlton and Collingwood, the rest are the bridesmaids of this wedding built in hatred. Fuck Geelong, let's knock off these melts because, God, 9 months of hearing Collingwood fans, yap, 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 we won a flag. Fuck them. Let's knock them out now. Let's ruin their fucking time. Can I tell you what? They lose to us on Friday. Retaining that fucking precious little trophy is miles away when we knock them off.
Well, Jimmy, I'll tell you something that I've experienced in the last 2 weeks. You talk about they used to fear us in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. I've heard this from everyone that I've spoken to who was around for, you know, this era. I never really understood what it meant. But in the last 2 weeks, I have felt a better connection with the previous generation. Last week was because I made the comment about, was that what the premiership quarter was like? And it's like, yeah, that's exactly what it was like. I'm like, okay, cool. That was really fun. So I got a small little smell of it. This week it was, funnily enough, in a loss, how much it meant to Geelong. Like, wow, imagine being alive in the 70s and 80s doing this channel. Oh, we would have been insufferable.
Mate, history is a good story of what not to do and what to do. This is all about now. Like, all due respect to the past, couldn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
It's 2024. I want flags now. I want this generation to be able to join you guys who are the advocates of our history, and we can hold hands and say we all saw one together. It's not a myth. And it's getting real now, man. It's getting real. These sides are looking at us. You're not counting off. We've got a chance of the flag. Do you know what I mean? Finally, we beat GWS, so we don't have to fucking hear the Kingsley froth. Oh, wow, Kingsley fucking moves the ball on quickly. Wow, that's not been done by every side that's won a flag for 100 years. We shut them up. Chris Scott gifted the best side ever and won a fucking flag with it. Finally retained one 20 years later. Well done to him. Now we play Collingwood because McRae is the most odious coach in the AFL. Because every fucking thing he says is an analogy. And I know I love an analogy. But do you know what I mean? Like, when he loses a game, how irritating is he when he comes on the TV and he's like, oh, when your wife's in the kitchen baking bread, make sure you knead the dough. What the fuck does that mean? I mean, like, we've got to smash these dickheads. And I'm saying, you know, this is where it matters now. Because we're going into this top of the ladder. They've won the flag. None of this nonsense fucking bollocks on Twitter and the back and forth. This is real. We beat them this week. Top four ain't a likelihood for Collingwood. That's too many. I think the eight is set now. Brisbane coming in late. That's probably it. Nine teams. Got to fucking get them. Got to beat them. We beat them. Top four goes. They will not win the flag from not top four. It's time to tell them Melbourne is blue. Fuck the rest. Yeah. Big game this weekend.
Yeah. We've got only a few things to talk about for round seven. Then we go full ball into round eight. But what I had written here was about learning. No, look, success is not a destination. You don't just win a couple of games and then you're successful and you're successful forever. Learning is infinite. Even the teams at the very top continue to learn. And I think that was something that I thought of from this round. It's going to be, I mean, there's a school of thought, like, how many lessons do we need to learn more? And then when we learn them, there's going to be more. I don't believe that you get to success and you stay there because it's actually harder once you get there, because then you've got a target on your back and then everyone's trying to pick away. You're the standard. Like, right now, let's be honest, Collingwood won the flag. Everyone went into the offseason thinking, okay, well, how do we beat what Collingwood did? You become the benchmark. So there's that. We talked about it in the ratings, but I want to bring it over to this show as well. We saw two games in a row against top four level opposition. Our team play with the two rucks, which has been a point of contention over, for a while now. How do you think it stacks up against the best? Is it something that we can use in finals, or is it just two lucky games?
Well, I think you've seen it. You've seen a side that GWS who like the contest and like moving it quickly, right? And evidently, according to the media, Adam Kingsley is God. So we absolutely destroyed them folks. And then we played Geelong, who are probably the transition masters. Honestly, I've never seen... I said it in my preview about Geelong, and I meant this with love. They send me to sleep watching them play football because it is so repetitive, but it is so well-drilled. And it's like watching Tiger Woods in his prime. You know what he's going to do. You just can't stop it happening. So you kind of just like end up going, all right, he wins this major. Who cares next? But it's worked. It's worked. It's there. The application on our part from defending and attacking, probably not quite there yet, right? But that's okay, because not everyone's Geelong and got a list that's 50 years old and played every finals bar two over the last two decades. This game here, Terry, this is it, baby. This is it. Collingwood, they're vulnerable. They're vulnerable. Can you imagine fucking Mason Cox is their second ruckman? Let that sink in. Mason Cox. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, he was shocked he wasn't sub at Anzac Day, because as an American, he wanted to be the sub, come on at halftime, then Collingwood win. He can win best on ground and say that he won it because he was on there from the start. You know, like Americans do, come in at halftime. everyone else does the hard work and they get the free votes. Like, fuck them. Like, come on, let's go. I'm ready.
All right.
Fuck you long. No one cares. I drove through it twice for a joke.
True. I'm going to skip round seven. We're done. We'll move on from it. I just want to point out the coaches' votes. I'm looking at them now. Jeremy Cameron, 10. Grindmeyer, 7. Mark Pitternet, 5. Patrick Cripps, 4. Max Holmes, 2. Sam Walsh, 2. So that's that. Thank you very much.
I think they were the three highest scoring on the ratings.
They were.
Not so saying thank you. Our ratings knows more than the coaches, but it could do.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a very short break. You're going to hear from Canoleria, and then we're going to start talking about the pies. Gee up.
Cannolo, it is Sicily. It's definitely a traditional Sicilian dessert. And we want to share exactly this. We want to share a traditional product that can be done with our Australian twist. Cannolo is something that you have to share with your family. Cannoleria try to do exactly that. We try to give a product that you can share with your family, share with your friends. All the important things, it can be happy or can be something sad, it's all around the table. And that's what my grandfather used to say. No matter if you have a little or a lot, food just brings everyone together. You can't go wrong with that. I'm Dario, owner of Cannoleria.
Cannoleria.
I have no idea what they are, but they look tasty.
Mate, they are currently at a stall in the South Melbourne market. They're delicious. And then more to come. But we thank Cannoleria, who is a subsidiary of That's Amore Cheese, for coming on board and supporting the Blue Abroad show. Okay, time to talk about round 8. Let's go. Firstly, 100,000 members. Come on. How impactful is it? What do you reflect on in the chat? What does 100,000 members mean to you? Is it as significant as it is? It's the biggest achievement the supporter base has had for a long time, ever. History of the club.
I think he was the amazing and evanescent Mr. What have you done? Hey, John, you know how to talk to me. Thank you very much, mate. Hey, tell you what. More of you do that. Don't mock my lack of culture. Just explain it in the culture I understand. Yeah, like, cheers, mate. They look like dessert tacos, though. It doesn't look like I'd get meat in them. I'd get them. But anyway, we digress. But I think it was the amazing Webby who posted, we hit the club record, 2018, I think it was, 55,000.
Yeah. 55,000 members in 2018?
Yeah. So let that sink in. Right. That in just let that sink in that we're now at 100K, baby. We're now at 100K. Vibes are high. We've got a football team that matches our passion and our desire. And Wildy's right. Like, honestly, like, we've played fine. We've won two finals in a decade. Do you know what I mean? Like, bloody Leonardo DiCaprio's been engaged more times than that time. Like,
true.
And 100,000 people backing these players in. And this weekend is where it all comes. This is the greatest game. If you watch sport, all the other games don't matter. It's the rival games. That's what you're getting into. And this is big, this. They're up and about. They've spent all... I mean, Christmas Day, there was people wishing people happy Christmas. And Collingwood fans were having that stupid picture of Nick Daicos going, flag pie. It's like...
Just honestly, a reminder. Oh, my God.
Honestly, Collingwood fans, we've all got that melt in our life on social media. January the 1st, new year, new me. And by December the 30th of that year, they've put 20 kgs on and they've had four different partners. Like, it's same old you, just a little bit chubbier. That's what they are, them really annoying fans that have this new thing. This is the week, though. Four losses when we beat them this week. Four losses. The statistical of being top four is hard. That is what we do. This means more to them than us. They need to retain that because their arse has been writing a lot of checks that it can't cash. We're steamrolling. This is it. This is the first time we've had a derby like this where we're the tail waggers. We're the better side. And it's now a time to end the Collingwood dynasty that lasted from September to December. Congratulations. Good dynasty.
Yeah. I mean, 100,000 members, home game against Collingwood. when I watch Collingwood, I don't know if they've just about clicked or if they're in danger territory. And I remember doing this preview with you. I don't know if you do. 2020, we played Collingwood, the lockdown year, and we said the same thing. This is it. We've got to turn the tide. You know, they've had their fun in the sun. Little did we know that we would have to wait until 2023 to beat them again. Prior to that, it was 2021. Sorry, I should say. We beat him in the back end of last year. There can be no doubt about how important this Friday night is against them. And what do you reflect on when you think of Carlton Collingwood? You've been here for 11 years. What are you, and you know, you're a Celtic supporter, Manchester United supporter. What do you reflect on?
Rangers. With the Carlton
Collingwood? Sorry. Oh my God. Rangers.
Canal.
All right. Back it up.
Canal. Jesus Christ.
Oh my God.
I'll forgive you, Terry. Yeah, I'll forgive you. Fucking my blood turned. Then I was like, Jesus Christ.
Just testing you.
Jesus. It's like calling an Aussie a Kiwi. Jesus. Never do that. Anyway, you can tell. I mean, when I first came here, you can tell the animosity that, I mean, for me, the rivalry's kind of watered down because there's too many melts. Social media ruins everything. All good things are ruined by social media because now it's kind of like a status thing of, oh, let's just post Nick Dacos in every post and Carlton fans mentioning 95 and shit like that. Where to me, this game is steeped in history. This is an inner hatred. This is an inner hatred. Two clubs, one city, wanting to be the best, both of them at the top of the flag ladder. And it just means something. And it's one of them games that you can see it means something to the players. I think us and Essendon, in my time when Carlton was shit, that was two games that you could guarantee the Blues would get up for. Like, no matter where they were on the ladder, no matter where we were on the ladder, there was a bit of a scrap. When they were rubbish in that spoon year, they came to play against Carlton when we had a bit of a wag of the tail. And I think this game here is everything, isn't it? Because they finally caught us up on the flags. And you could say we've been waiting for so long, we should have added to it. It's now at that crossroads, isn't it, that they finally caught us. Let's get that gap back. Let's get that gap back. They've, because I, 6 months they've been level with us on flags and I'm already fucking sick of it. I mean, because I've seen 16 times more than I've ever thought of.
Oh, I do my very best with this channel to be professional and host and you know, be respectful. There's like a generational hatred that gets passed down. And I was putting together a little reel today for Instagram and even just putting all the highlights together. Like, I wasn't even there for most of the greatest memories between these two clubs. And I think for a long time, this generation didn't truly have those heartbreaking moments against Collingwood in finals to really feel it. 2022 was by far the biggest heartbreak I've ever experienced in football. So kind of got that. And I do wonder if that has seeped into the players as well. Do you remember Jacob Wiedering a few years ago saying, like, we appreciate that the fans look at it one way, we just don't feel it as much? I do wonder if since the last round in 2022, that now that they've felt the heartbreak as players, that they've got something within them as well. Because my blood's been boiling all day. I have been so excited to stop talking about round 7 and start talking about round 8 from the moment I woke up this morning.
Mate, I fucking hate them. Like, I can't tell you how much, like, all due respect, people who are Collingwood fans, who I am mates with, turn your ears down now because I still love you as people. Your football team is just a joke. But their fans, on general, probably rival ours for just fear, passion, and their ability to defend the club. Both of us, I'd say we're both equal. The thing that annoys me about Collingwood is when they're up and about, I don't think I've ever been more miserable. Do you know what I mean? To see someone happy. And genuinely, I'm quite a nice guy. Even if I don't like you, if you go on and have a happy life, I'm quite happy, right, for you. Because happiness is good. They're just fucking irritating. And look at them. They always show that Jamie Elliott kicking the goal clip. Like, even in their media, that gets a run. Like, we've been beaten and trodden on by all the clubs. But the one that hurts is the Pies, innit? The one that hurts is the Pies. And for me, it's flipped. We beat them. Top four. Bye-bye, baby. And you know what happens when you're not top four? You don't retain your title. And I actually find, and this is my message to Collingwood fans, stop trying to be light.
Yeah.
Like, what is this whole McRae nonsense? Be the likable club, the new Pies. Honestly, I can't stand Fly. I can't think of anyone more odious. The guy just can't take a loss. Everything is an innuendo. What a complete fuckstick. I hope we go out there and absolutely smash them so he can drop some shitty little analogy of why he's lost. Fuck him. Can't wait to smash him. I hope Charlie kicks 20.
Well, there's the other element, one of the many elements of this week. Narratives come and go, media drive narratives, the Charlie Curnow free kick narrative. You know it's getting a run this week, and you know any free kick he gets this week against the Pies is going to be met with some sort of reaction from the supporter base. What we won't have an issue with, or Collingwood as well, both clubs have that unique competitive advantage where they can generate energy in game, match it with the crowd's energy, who then amplify it, and it's on. So, you know, we talked about that last week with Geelong. They don't quite have that to our level, but Collingwood and Carlton, like the whole atmosphere, that the tension, you're going to smell it, you're going to feel it. It's palpable. You can touch it with every inch that you touch in the sky. So that sort of not cancels each other out, but it's matched. So where do we actually beat Collingwood, you know, in a football sense, and how?
I think the big thing with Collingwood, and I said it last year, their pressure when it's heated, and we saw it when we beat them, they don't like it. They don't like it up them. They really don't. That is probably when they can't control the narrative and they've got to think quicker and they've got to take the game on. That's not their game. And I think that's what you've seen this year. We talked about it last year when you asked me the same question. Watch St. Kilda. St. Kilda ran them close. They were the first team last year. That quick pressure isn't good. Also take into our stoppage and clearance game. We know that won it last year. That's not their strength. They want the ball free flowing. I think there's a new element now to Carlton, though, that they've got that pressure. And I think that'll worry them because they like to piss about on the back half and set up transition. Nick Dacos ain't going to get that time. Scott Pendlebury ain't going to get that time. We're now a real manic pressure side. And you know what I'll say? I think Darcy Moore has been woeful this year. I respect him as a player. I think he's a terrific player. If I was a Collingwood fan, I'd be like, that back line ain't holding up with them two big guys. And that is it. Just get the ball in, death by a thousand cuts, and let's smash them. Because you know what? What kills me is, like, we take the piss out of Geelong, but Rat Poison, they're in chat, and we had Mike in the live. And that's what I mean. Other fans join in with the banter. How many times do we do the watch-along chat? And you get a dickhead from Collingwood, Carlton versus North, and he pops in and goes, Nick Dacos. And it's like, bro, it's Sunday, 4 o'clock. Go and spend some time with some fucking family members. Like, honestly, smash them so I don't have to see them dickheads in my chat. This once. Smash them. I want a destruction. I feel like this is it. This is the time where we say, your method, our method, our method's better.
I hope so. Yeah.
We will,
inshallah. So we've played against two top four sides in the last 2 weeks. Both have shown their ability to punish off turnover. Collingwood renowned for their ability to get you on rebound. We spoke about it in the ratings just now, how important it's going to be to make sure that our entries aren't shallow. How do we do it?
I think we've got to get that running game going. I think we've got to start looking. I think that's the big thing. When you look at Carlton, we do get a bit twitchy and we've got to get that inside 50 in. The big benefit of this is that Collingwood's transition comes from their smaller players. It's not like the other teams that use their big guys, where you saw Geelong, that killed us a little bit. because their big guys don't mind getting dirty. This week, though, it's literally go, go, go. Try and get them repeat stoppages. I feel like that's something Voss has strayed away from this year, where he likes them repeat stoppages. Last year, it was like monotonous. It was like, okay, we're not kicking a goal, get another stoppage. I'd like to see that go back to our little control. Maybe that's the layer we need, Terry, I think. That control the game, maybe stoppage is our method of controlling. But, mate, we know what happens in these games. Your Arsenal played Tottenham last night on another level, Arsenal are, football-wise. But when it's a derby, when it matters, you can have the sexiest system, the most effective system, heart overrules. And I think it's going to be a slugfest. And I think that's where Calton will naturally get them deeper entries. Because going back and watching the Collingwood game last year, we naturally got deep entries because we were pushing so high up and we wanted to punish them. So we've got to watch that. But I think Collingwood this year have more to worry about than Calton than we did last year. I'd be watching this and going, okay, we had no turnover game last year. Yeah. You do your little cute long bombs. It's coming back this year. So we should feel confident. I feel more confident this game than I ever did. And this time last week, year, don't you remember I had that tweet with Luke and he never took the bet? Whoever loses gets the other one's face tattooed on the bum. And Everyone said I was mental.
True.
I'm more confident.
Well, my heart is racing. I want to talk about our availability for a minute. Just for changes for team selection. So this is from last week. So forgive it. It's from the 23rd of April. We'll get an update tomorrow. But the two names I'm looking at here that should, if everything goes to plan based on what we saw in their injury report, they should be available are these two. McGovern, Voss mentioned it in his presser after the Cats game. He said, could be one. And he sort of alluded to the fact that it'll be a bit line ball. My mind instantly thinks you're not going to risk him this early in the season. You might, but let's just say for argument's sake, that means McGovern's out. The only other two that I think could be, maybe should be available are these two. If that's the case, who are you bringing in and who's going out?
Only Chera for Carroll.
Chera for Carroll. Yeah, I think I'm with you. Yeah.
Cunners hasn't seen grass since, what, round two?
True.
Round one, sorry. And let's be honest, Elijah and Cotra are in another stratosphere because both of them contribute whether they score or not. Dependent on how Zaki W is, is that Pom Cotter? Because I know one thing, Pom Cotter fucking hates the Pies. Is that something Calton do and give Newman that responsibility like he did last time? But for me, yeah, Chez straight in for Carroll. But I don't see the worth of Cunners hasn't seen grass. Like, let's be honest. And I think if we're really honest, Elijah Hollands already has got a better resume than Cunners. And give him the VFL. Give him the VFL. He's got to earn it back. He's had his opportunities. Yeah. Time to earn it.
So Chincotta, I mean, Fantasia, who was ill last week, I felt against the Cats. We watched, particularly the younger boys, their inexperience probably showed. So that's where I'm starting to think, okay, maybe you start bringing in some experienced guys. Does that mean Fantasia plays or comes in for a Bins, for example, and goes back to being the sub or starting on the field? Chincotta's a really interesting one. You know he can play at the level. He's had a game in the VFL now. Should be fit and healthy and ready. I guess we'll see. But I think overall I'm with you. Chera for sure. I'm really excited to see this midfield with Chera in it and like the full complement there.
Yeah, I mean, Arazio's an interesting one because is Arazio playing well? No. But I would like to give him the opportunity here and go, if you want to get the Calton fans on your side, two games, two goals here, and giving it large to the cheer squad, mate, that they'll fall. It's that easy. So always, he's played well. Always, he's one bad game this week.
Yeah.
Bins would go straight back to VFL for mine. And is Pom Cotter the sub? you know what I mean? If you want to shore it up, or is Fantasia the sub? Or is always the sub? Or is it something like that? Because I think that's where Carlton have been the best so far when they've brought small forward on. And you saw Bin straight away was used as that half forward. That little bit of a change because they work really hard. Is it a Fantasia sub? Fourth quarter, scores level. You click the button and Mr. Fantasia comes on and kicks three goals. Carlton win by 25. And he's cemented in Blues folklore.
Forever. In eternity.
Yeah, all right. Because, I mean, that's it. But like you say, to quote Voss, these are the games we win.
Yeah.
And we expect to beat Collingwood even when we've won one game.
It's not
one
a hope.
Game a year.
You're right. It's not a hope anymore. The expectation's risen. The standards have definitely... lifted.
Wow. No, this is it, mate. Friday go night, in. Mate. I want us to go in and no fucking about. No fucking about.
No this 160 pressure. We have that. I'm pretty confident in saying, I mean, I don't think there will be any crowd needs to ease their way into the game and they really lifted in the third quarter. Like, no, it's gonna be on from the bounce. You've got to have that 200 pressure from the bounce. The crowd will be there immediately. That will
you
not
know
be
what I want as well is I want, and I think Jay Baggers nails it. I want to hear what I hear in England. As soon as that centre bounce happens, fucking raw. Like, feel like we're really reactive as a crowd. When we're going and kicking goals, great noise. I want to hear the boys being cheered on from that opening bounce, a big fucking deafening roar. Because I want to see him come out with 220 pressure. I want to see that first centre bounce. You get that dainty little handball from the old Pendlebury to Dacos. Crunch straight away by George Hewitt and a noise. A noise as the boys go, nah, this is what we're about. We draw a line. This is big, bro, man. Because this is that game, innit? They're the champions. They deserve respect in that avenue. They're the champions. They hold it. They hold the key to the castle.
Yeah,
and what better than being their rivals and breaking their dreams in round eight? I'm telling you now, lose four games, ain't top four.
Yeah, there's something about the crowd that it's almost a little bit. You have to be a bit brave to be in the crowd because I get really sensitive in Collingwood Carlton matches. I have this picture in my mind: end of 2022, siren goes. That fan four rows ahead of me turned around to me, looked me in the eye and said, fuck you. And I struggle to know how I'm going to contain myself because something comes out. It's not something I feel like I can control, which I love, which is so unique about this rivalry. It brings out the history in all of us, even those that weren't around for it.
Rivals are the best. And yeah. You know, you're kind of in that horrible relationship with them because we need them, they need us. Because otherwise, it's just another fucking game. Do you know what I mean? It's just another game. And, you know, different story. If Geelong were Collingwood, would we have taken that loss? No, because we don't accept losing to your rivals. Ladder position doesn't matter. Huge, huge game this week. And you know what? These boys... What a week to play it. Your boss has come out and called you pricks. You've lost to Geelong.
Yeah.
And you get to play the biggest bunch of pricks in the AFL. And this is where you repay the faith. This is where you go out. Mate, I fucking hate Collingwood. This is the game.
Shit. And
you remember them last year when they beat us when we were on our low trot and they were all fucking dicks out. This is our chance to be dicks out.
That's the opportunity, isn't it? The opportunity, we get the opportunity to bury them. Like late last year, we did bury them. Then they got back into the game. You know, game was over, so to speak, towards the end. I mean, that was a great memory in our run. This one, totally different because they haven't started at their best. They could be back to their best, and this could be the game they get back into form. But I'd like to think that this is the one where we get the opportunity to put them away and start turning the ledger back the other way. Because for the last 10, 15 years, maybe longer, They've had a lot of wins.
And we're a bona fide top four side now. So this is why this game for me has so much more significance.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are the real deal now. There's no hyping it up. The other clubs see us as the fucking real deal. And what better way than to set the benchmark of putting gaps between these idiots, get rid of them. Get rid of these idiots because I'm sick of them. Sick of them. Like, honestly, they become history connoisseurs and half of them can't spell at this point in time. Fucking winds me up. Like, just go out there. Don't care how. Don't care who's on who. Just fucking beat them, right?
Yeah.
And we'll cross the bridge when it comes to it. But this is the big game. This is the big game.
Key matchups?
Darcy on Harry.
True. Because I'll play Frampton on Charlie, right?
Yeah, because they think he's more mobile and because he stays deeper, don't they? So that should be good. TDK versus Cox. Because they'll give Darcy to Pitt.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'll be big. Mm-hmm. I want to see the Hewitt versus De Goey. Because he's really been a metronome for them this year. Like, De Goey's dug them out of holes. And he just bursts through. And that seems to be George Hewitt's bread and butter. I'm looking forward to see that. Bobby Hill? Oof, that'll be tough. Well, based on the last couple of weeks, Jordan Boyd has had the dangerous guy. That could be interesting because that will allow him to get up the ground.
Yes.
Which could be a problem for them.
What else have you guys got here? You got Kemp.
Boydie. Kemp on Elliott.
That's a nice goal. That's a nice one. Or Schultz. He also plays a little bit further up in their forward line. Wow, it's tantalizing. All right. Well, it's only Monday night. Christian Chapcoon, Pom v Swoop, crucial to the outcome. Oh, I have to be nice tomorrow night on Footy Abroad. I can't hide it. I can't disguise it.
Swoop's on that, isn't he, tomorrow?
Swoop's on tomorrow. I have to, like, really control myself and just, you know.
You know what? I do love the official excuse for Jordan De Goey. The wording was the best. He's holding a groin.
I saw that. Absolute bobbins, mate.
No, but like holding your groin. My kids used to do that. My granddad used to put DP on your hands if you were doing that, so you didn't play with it so much. Like, how's that an injury? Like,
yeah.
Old men touch their willies all the time.
Yeah. I do not want to hear a word about their injuries. We have not complained. We have not.
No, last time we played and we had no Harry and no Walsh, didn't we? And who were they missing? They were missing one player. Who was it?
Collingwood.
Yeah, it was some average player as well. But that was their excuse. Oh yeah, try playing as it was someone shit as well. Like, I can't remember who it was.
Ash Johnson or something?
Yeah, Bobby Hill, that was it. Someone nondescript, right? Who he hadn't had his grand final then, right? And he was like, oh, if Bobby Hill was here, he would have turned around that 7-goal deficit. Fuck me. So you know what will happen? If De Goey doesn't play, they won't care about our injuries.
Yeah. Well, Chera was off at halftime. He had 20 possessions in the first half from memory and got subbed out and Dow came in.
Yeah, but he wasn't actually injured. Chera, he was giving him a bath that much. We had to take him off at half time because otherwise McRae would have cried. based on his press conference, he maybe not didn't plan some shit metaphor. Can't wait to hear his shit metaphor. That's in the media watch. No matter what happens, I am using that press conference when we win in media watch just to laugh.
Well, they can walk up the stairs and take the long route. I'll be on the escalator this week watching them.
I can't wait. Honestly, they annoy me. They really do. And they've annoyed me more since winning the flag as well, because they have just become obnoxious with a likable pies. Are you fuck? Like, yeah. Do you like Home Invaders?
Oh, you fuck.
What the fuck is going on? Yeah, how's Dow getting a chat? Fuck me. Paddy Dow can't escape that guy.
Oh, gosh. Okay, well, it's 8 o'clock, which means the Blue Abroad show has come to an end, which means we have prizes to give away. It's time. It's time. Okay, so bit of context. We are celebrating, we did celebrate the 6th birthday of Blue Abroad. And in celebration, have a bunch of items to give away. I'm going to play them one by one. The last spin of the wheel, which I'm going to share in a moment, will be for the Blazer. So that'll be that. Our content creators, you're in there. Pommy gave you an entry in there, mate. Our new sponsors are in there. We thank you very much for your support. And I don't know, I'm excited to spin this wheel. I can't believe you jinxed it. I hope nothing goes wrong.
I can't wait for the guy to go, oh, I'm actually an Essendon fan or something like that. Like,
yeah.
Like someone's bought a raffle ticket in his deceased nan's name, which breaks fucking gambling laws. There's going to be some fucking fuck up coming up. Don't worry, chat. Stick around. This is not over yet.
The fuckery is coming. So, firstly, the first prize. We're officially beginning. Well, let me just make sure I'm not missing a name. Refresh. Entries are closed. Okay.
That's the all best entries surname in. Ever, Cheesley.
Yeah. So, is the right thing to do to shuffle 3 times before each spin? That's the right thing to do, right?
Do 6. 6 anniversary.
6 shuffles per spin. All right.
Well, it takes 5 seconds, sir. You make it sound like it's a big task.
No, I'm clicking the button. Okay. So, the first prize, the first spin will be for the Carlton-themed shoes, that is this one.
I don't know how I feel about them.
From Athleticán. Okay.
They look cool. I just don't know if I could wear them.
Yeah, they're more of a
souvenir. That being said, I'm going to win it. Ah. Oh, yeah. There we are.
So 6 times. Hang on. Well, I'm feeling the pressure here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All right. Yay. First prize. Away we go. Bradley Grinwis. Congratulations.
Well done, Brad. Good work, mate.
Fantastic. So I'm going to be in touch with all of you via email to get your addresses to post everything. All right. Close. So your entry stays in. Prize number 2 is we've got a Silvani item. So have a look at these. Is that working?
Yeah. The polos.
Okay, it was frozen on my end. Okay, so this prize number 2. Did I shuffle 6 times?
Go for it.
No, I didn't. I haven't
this time. Are you going to do it every time?
Well, that's what the question was.
Okay, do it every time if you want.
Oh,
Gav, should ring the winners live on air. I'm with you, bro, for the comedy.
There's too much going on.
I'm gutted we're not fucking ringing them now.
I will be ringing a winner on the team show. I'm giving away a ticket to Friday night. Can we have a trumpet for every prize? Maybe for the 6th one. All right.
Let's do it.
I'm shuffling.
You don't have to. You've already done it. I mean,
2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
It's still random, Terry.
Just for the sake of, Jimmy, there's a lot of pressure. I'm feeling it, mate. All right, here we go. Prize number 2. Christine Abichia. Well done, Christine. Here. Congratulations. Close. One, two, three.
Good
four,
to see
five.
So many girls in that raffle as well. Nice to see a good smorgasbord of diversity
yes.
in the fan base.
Absolutely. Now, spin number three. This is what you can win.
Socks and pants.
And they've got a grass stain on them as well. Okay.
I enjoyed Terry showing us a close-up of the zip on the bottom. That was my fave.
All right, here we go. I've shuffled six times. Eddie Haddad. That's Haddad. I recognize that name. Eddie Haddad, congratulations. By the way, I'm going to put in a BA pin to everyone who wins a prize today. I'm going to put it in the mail as well. Eddie Haddad, congratulations. One, two, three, four, five, six. Whew. I'm feeling it, man. Okay.
This is exciting.
We are getting there. So spin number four. This is what is up for grabs. Hey, shout out to the Silvanis for donating this stuff, by the way. Incredible. All right.
Yeah, mate. How good was the AFL versus Ireland series?
Oh, man. I can't believe we don't do it anymore. I mean, I can. I know exactly why we don't, but I really enjoyed that.
Just let me down. Yeah. AFL. Okay. The carpet's getting a shout out, Terry. Terry loves his carpets.
That's my favorite thing. That no one's getting that. Oh, not true. One day. Right now, that's a staple of the studio. That one day. It's fucking heavy, I'll tell you that
much.
You
do love your wall rugs, don't you, Terry?
I am partial to a wall rug. Okay. Here we go. No way. Oh! Luke Hall. Congratulations, mate. Congratulations. That was one away from Debbie O'Connor. I was about to absolutely lose it there. One, two, three, four, five, six. Okay. We're getting towards the end. Win a date with me. No, you don't want to get a date with me. Prize. There's so many angles I could go with that.
That is a quality raffle, that Jimmy, as well, mate. Well played. Like, I'm game to host that.
Maybe one day. Okay, prize number five is a brand new BA hoodie with the new logo. Woo! Okay. I've shuffled. I did.
I've got to say, the new logo on the hoodie looks sick.
Yeah, it's clean. I'm very happy with it. It was time. Alex Williams, congratulations, mate.
Well done, Alex.
Great surname. Do you know him?
I don't know.
You don't know
him? We're not all related. Or are we?
Well, I think
well done, Alex. Good surname, mate.
Wow. We are here. Okay. The former logo, will it still be a thing? Yeah, still be a thing. So basically, this is just a new logo. Also, when we win the next premiership, it'll be the new pin. Spoiler alert, but the old logo is still there. It's the OG logo. Okay. This is big. So we have got a 1999 Australian blazer worn by the great Steve Silvani when he played. Was he the goalkeeper for Australia? Surely.
Yeah, that was the fullbacks, wasn't it? Because we had a, what was the guy, the big lanky guy, Fletcher?
Oh, yeah, Dustin. Yeah, so take a look. Okay.
That does look sick. Like,
it's I don't so cool.
care. I do want to win this one.
So here it is. It comes with an invitation from the governor to Mr. Steve Silvani, and it comes with a VFL tie. It's a beautiful piece.
Ah, oh, that honestly, fucking, I want to win this one.
Okay. All right. So thank you once again to the Silvanis for donating these items. Thank you also to you guys for being a part of the channel. And supporting and entering the raffle and really just all your support over the years. And I'm really excited to give this away. All right. Do we have a sound?
No way.
It's about as much as I've got. I will trumpet after this, I promise. Here we go. Good luck, everyone.
I can't believe we got a fucking game show sound.
Adam Rawson.
Hey! Well done, Adam. Wow.
Adam Rawson, you have won an incredibly rare. Well, all of these items are rare, apart from the hoodie and the shoes. But congratulations, Adam. And congratulations to everybody who won. Prizes will come to you this week. I will be in touch. Okay. Everything went through smooth. Can I just tell you, my heart is racing.
Don't know why you got nervous with that.
No, well, you put it in my head that something was going to go wrong. And I was like, yeah, probably will go wrong.
Nah, I was like, Gav, I thought we were going to ring someone. And like it all go tits up and be like a serial killer or something. Do you know what I mean? Like that's why I get excited when you say, oh, we've got to do a giveaway. I'm like, yeah, I'm in.
Yeah. No, I didn't collect numbers for this one. So congratulations again to everyone. Tomorrow night, Footy Abroad, 8 p.m. On Thursday, I will be giving away a ticket. My reserve ticket, actually, because I'm sitting somewhere else. I'm transferring my reserve seat, level one, to somebody. I will put a link probably on Instagram and elsewhere for you to enter your details. I'll spin the wheel again. I'll call you live on air. So be ready for that. That'll be on the team show Thursday. Pommy, thanks for a bumper night. That was incredible.
Mate, that was fun. I had a lot of fun. So I can't wait. Can't wait to do the watch along and can't wait to beat these dickheads. I'm looking forward to it. I've talked a lot of shit, so I'd imagine my notifications this time tomorrow morning will be a dark place.
A very dark place indeed. What's happening on Pommy and Oz this week? What have we got to look forward to?
We've got Pommy Fonders tomorrow. I decided to have the night off tonight because I've been on lots of streams. So Pommy Ponders tomorrow, special guest. Preview, VFL wrap, the top 50 draftees. Loads happening this week. And a selection table as well. Loads of stuff.
Last message for the night. Don't fuck around on Friday. Be loud. Seriously. No, it's like a mission this week. This is war. This isn't a joke, Pommy. It's not a joke.
Yeah, honestly, people who say it's just a game, complete melts. This is life or death. This is life or death. Life or death.
Yeah. All right. Good night. Go Blues.
Go Blues.